Hi. Gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. A lot of things are happening. We're living in an interesting time. And so it should be a very important thing for you to think about what changes are in store for people that call themselves Christians. When you say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that God rose him on the third day, when you believe that he was born of a virgin, and that he got up on that cross and paid the price for your sin, when you believe this today, you have this idea that it's guaranteed that you will go to heaven. You know, if you die, you still believe, and so when you wake up or whatever, there you'll be with Jesus. And so we have this kind of idea that it's status quo. You know, I'm pretty much sure that a lot of you believe that, you know, times are changing and Jesus could come back pretty soon. However, it's a little bit more complex than that. Jesus took his time, you know, when in the Bible, you know, there's a lot of pages in there. You know, it's only a book about so thick, depending on how big the print is and everything, how thick the pages is. But it says a lot of things. And that story covers 7,000 years. And it gives hints of time before, and it gives hints of time afterwards. Just in a, you know, there's going to 7,000 years, the earth and the universe as it was going to melt away, and a new earth, a new heaven will be created. And life goes on from there. In your new body, in your spiritual body and all that, and you'll be living with Jesus. And then before, you know, Adam and Eve and all that, there was, God gathered around and said, let us make a man in our image and all that. So we know that there's time before. And if you're really good at the Bible and everything, you can find vague hints to what went on before and maybe even what will go on after this seven-year period. But this seven-year period has a particular purpose, to reveal the glory of God and this thing called righteousness. There was some little bits of problem up there in heaven, as it were, and about a third of the angels fell. Satan, Lucifer, got to thinking that he wants to climb up there and be higher than God. So he was cast out to earth. And pretty much we know this kind of a story. But you see, we got this time frame here, 7,000 years. Well, we're through 6,000 years. So, you know, no matter how you can get across to anything, we're through 6,000 years. No matter how you add up the years, we're through with them. You want a plus and minus? We're already past the plus, as it were. And so this means Jesus is going to come back soon. And we have one verse that talks about that there will be 2 days, and in the beginning of the third day, we will reign with him. And then the next sentence goes on to explain what a day is, and it says a day is 1,000 years to God. So then we get this idea here, we get 2,000 years must go by, and then we'll reign with him. Well, the only person we're going to reign with is Jesus. Isn't that what it is? So when we read this, I think it's in Hosea, and so 2,000, he died 2,000 years ago, so we're finished with that 2,000, now we're at the beginning of the 3,000. So we got a lot of indications that we're close. We also know that when you start to see the shoots spring up, you know, so if you look at it as in 1948 they became a nation, well, the Jewish people have been going back to Israel since 1917, any kind of an official type of thing. That's when they began to have the shoots, as it were, returning and growing up in Israel to become a nation. And that period of time, you know, when that generation won't pass away. Now, the actual word there used is lifetime. as it were. If we like to try to figure out what a generation is, and some say 40 years, and some try to calculate some other way, but in actuality, this word, if you want to find the best kind of English to apply according to the sentence and everything and the grammar, and you come up with lifespan. So we're talking about people that were born on the day that Israel began to have its shoots grow up, you know, brand new coming up, just little tiny shoots, that last man wouldn't pass away. That time comes to an end generally because we can do all kinds of math and calculations and statistics to figure out how old people live. But these days, we can probably get away with saying, you know, a lot of people are living to their 90s. And so we just want to use 90 as an example. Then 2007 is going to be the end of the lifespans of the people that were born when when Israel started becoming a nation. You can play around with figures, you know, because it's really complex to try to figure out the exact time, but we can get pretty close. So we know 2007, you know, most of the people are 90s. If they're still alive, they're in their 90s. How much longer are they going to live? Another 10 years before they're all gone? So we have lots of indications in the world today that Jesus will soon come back. So we're not the same as Christians that used to live. And so what is it that we are? And the Bible tells us we're those last days Christians, as it were. Things are happening. You see, things go on. We have a period of time when you have the garden period. If you want to go and use the garden, you got to go, and you want to go play in the garden, then you got to abide by garden rules. And there's all kinds of different things going in the garden in that first 1,000 years and everything. For instance, incest was perfectly fine because there was nobody else. You had to get married, or, you know, there wasn't any marriage. And we don't have any idea of how people decided to be together. You know, did they, my sister looks cute here, let me go date her. Or did Adam and Eve sit there and say, no, you're going to be with my daughter here, you're going to be with my son over here. This is how, you know, we don't know. It's not getting into a great deal of detail what particularly was happening in how marriage type of thing, as we think about things like that today, happened back in those days. And so what we do know is there is nobody else in the world. And so people did have to get together with their brothers and sisters, you know, to have babies. So this is that period of time. Today we don't think that you should do that, right? We think there's plenty of Bible and everything that we can bring up and tell them that this is a no-no now. But that was that phase of time. Then the garden was over, and the first 1,000 years was over, and then there were some more big changes. The flood came on the earth, dried up, the ark landed on Mount Arafat, and life began anew. We know that one of Noah's sons sinned. So he was kind of like a black sheep of the family. Now, we know also that if you're going to be, what was Noah, into the 300s or something like that in age? If you're going to be this old and you're living in a time where everybody lived to be 1,000, education is pretty interesting. You probably you're near perfect in your body, you know. You just got kicked out of the garden, and now for this first 1,000 years, you're near perfect in your physical body, and so you can live about 1,000 years, and you probably have nearly photographic memory. So education can really develop, you know, when you learn how to do things. Plus, you already knew a lot of stuff because you had a pretty close communications with God too, and Satan was working there too, you know. So a lot of things, there was a season there of 1,000 years. Then we got up until the Tower of Babel, another season of time that went by where things went on. And then you head up to Abraham. And we find that during the process of the Bible time of these 7,000 years, that there are phases when some things that used to be okay to do aren't okay to do anymore. There was a need for something, and then this changed, and then it went on further. It now became that you needed to go to your more distant cousin to get married, but your family usually arranged it still. The deal, you had to make deals with the father of the bride. That's to his satisfaction. And we have all these stories about that. And we find that throughout a good part of the Bible, patriarchs, you know, the famous Bible characters, they have lots of wives and lots of concubines. So we have a phase of the Bible that certain things work and is perfectly okay. There's no condemnation from God about these things. The more you get into it, the more we would really think it's got to be pretty sexually immoral things that they did in those days, which is perfectly fine with God in those days. Does God change? Or does he have a plan? And we just move on from plan to plan. If nothing is actually changing, it's consistently heading to a goal where it was necessary to begin to tell us that we're sinners. And have to kill cows and things like that, and birds, and sacrifice these things. And pretty specific way of doing things, and a lot of thou shalt nots, you know. And everybody found out they couldn't obey the law, and so they had to sacrifice all the time. Then we get up further and further until finally Jesus was born. And another step forward of changing. He was the sacrifice for all sins. He came to die. He's God, born in the flesh from a virgin who, by the way, was 13 years old when she got pregnant, 14 years old when Jesus was born. We consider that pretty bad today, wouldn't we? But these are some of the facts. She wasn't a virgin because she had a great deal of virtue. She might have had virtue, but she wasn't a virgin because of that. She might have not wanted to have any kind of sex or anything, but, you know, this was not why she didn't. She would have probably been raped or something else. These were the times. So families had to do things to make protection. And one of the things is that there's daycare, you know. The temple of God, you know, the synagogue, you know, they have a daycare area. And so the daughters, when they were in danger of losing their virginity, they would be sent to these daycares. And so they would have people that watch over them so that when it comes to fulfill the business deal of marriage, then this family here and this family here could be assured that they have a virgin daughter to offer to in marriage to this other family. This is kind of how it went. But then now that Christianity began, and other things began to happen. The first 1,000 years of Christianity, the marriage type of issue was pretty different. Because you know how people are. They like to get this doctrine, that doctrine, customs and traditions of man, conditioning and everything, and this guy's telling this, and this guy. And then some leaders in the church, they start thinking this way and saying this is how it is and everything. And you get to kind of believing that there's a demon behind every bush, as it were, and on and on, and then you take one verse and you make it a doctrine. And so, you know, the first 1,000 years, oh, lots of, you know, they're wonderful Christians in a lot of type of ways. They were really messed up on this thing called sex and marriage. And we already have a history, like I've been telling you, that there's been changes. Now we're in the process that during this period of time, it doesn't matter the exception. What matters is Christianity in general. Marriage was to make babies. You know how you like to condemn people because they don't make babies? Well, this is what they believe, really strong. You gotta make a baby if you're gonna have sex. And so, for 1,000 years, this is what marriage was. You didn't enjoy that relationship. You did it to produce, to multiply. Now, the man had it pretty good, because what was legal for Christians was to have concubines and mistresses. They can legally, in the Christian law set up, go out and have concubines, you know, to enjoy. Or mistresses. This is perfectly legal. This began to change when St. Augustine saw somebody, you know, a real wealthy woman over there, and if he could marry her, he not only gets the wealth and the more power, he's joining in with his other family, that they have a lot of clout and everything, and he could start, you know, enjoying the power and stuff that comes along with that. But he had a concubine. The record shows he sold that concubine so that he would be able to marry this wealthy woman. Well, St. Augustine had a lot of other problems in this kind of a strict code which got really into the Catholic Church, and that was developing what now we see a lot of people so concerned about. Is this sin if I do this or that or whatever? And the other thing, because this happened about there. You know, after 1,000 years of Christianity, it began to change and evolve again, not because of God. They're not going to, you know, St. Augustine didn't say, oh God, give me a revelation on how we should now make the laws in our church and the doctrines about marriage and sex and all that kind of stuff. Instead, he looked over and wanted this wealthy woman. He began to instigate things in the church, which within a very short order developed the Catholic Church sort of as we know it in the condition or in the state today, in the world today. Doesn't matter what religion you are, you're influenced by Catholics. Doesn't mean if you're, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or what you are. Buddhist, doesn't matter. In Islam, they owe their existence to the Vatican. They don't even know it. But anyway, the things change. And so the framework for a new Christian church developed through the Vatican in strict morals of what you do in what you want to do when you get that age. And what happened? Because they've been doing so well, became the religion of the land, you know, the Roman Empire and all that type of stuff. The pagans and the fertility cult, the fertility gods and all that, they'd be coming into Christianity in groves. And what do you think they did? They brought with them their customs and traditions of marriage. And what were their traditions and customs? They were, you have somebody, which we now today call the pastor, and this priest was an intermediator between the couple wanting to marry and the fertility god. There were rituals involved. And after this ritual was done, you would go out and have a celebration kind of rituals to their gods. And we call them receptions today. And when we look into the receptions, you know, you can go and you'll find that, you know, over the next 1,000 years, which brings us up today, there's been influences into marriage. But generally, the backbone and skeletal structure of how we get married today is based on these multitudes of pagans coming into Christianity and bringing their culture. And when they got in, they began giving these ceremonies and rituals Christian names. Because certainly Christians don't want to hear that this particular ritual was to the fertility god Diana or something like that. Or some other kind of, you know, we did this to Zeus or something, or Jupiter, and you know, there's a whole bunch of things. And all of this came in there, and this doesn't work in Christianity. You got to do something else. So now you call the minister, the pastor, the priest of the Catholic Church or something. and Protestants, you know, pastors, and they, you know, yeah, very reverend, or something, all these kind of names that we get involved here. And so now you have a good idea where today's style of marriage comes from. And we now have this idea that we got involved in, we want our rights. Democracy got better and better, and people want to meet their own. They don't want their father and mother to decide who they're going to marry. Things changed and evolved to now, it's nearly a unilateral thing of that the way you get married is you know, after leaving your parents, well, you know, the Bible says you don't leave your parents unless you're going to get married, but we leave our parents to have fun, get a career, sow wild oats, and lots of other things, get some more education, and then maybe get down and get married. But we're going to do it on our terms, in our way, and who we want. And we make a lot of mistakes. We don't know in the olden times when the family chose, you had a lifetime. We didn't, you know what was going to happen. You know who the person was, and on. So you had, and then you're together. And so you're going to have to fall in love with whoever it is that you're living with. But that's not how it works today. Today, you meet somebody and date them, and who knows? They seem great. You attract the deal, and you get divorced. 50% divorce, 60% divorce. And what is this resulting in? That we have false doctrines of men, customs, traditions, conditionings, and we all like to say the ones we have are from God, instead of picking up the Bible and study. We'll point fingers at this group and say, we don't like them because God doesn't like them. But you have the book. You have to open the book up to find out, is it talking about this kind of group? Because today we can see all the behaviors. Then we can go in the Bible, because the Bible is really good at defining behaviors and describing them. So you can do some comparison. Because you've got maybe one similarity. You know, a tree is green. So that's a fir tree. But then, so you look at a pine tree and you say, well, that's a fir tree too, because it's green. No, it doesn't work like that. There are differences. And you need to find out if you're going to be judgmental on people and say you're sinning or something, and somehow you judge the sin. Now, things are about to happen. Part of this enjoying the conditionings and traditions and doctrines of men and customs and so forth is that you've got blinders on. You're in bondage to these things and nothing else matters. If somebody from outside comes and tells you, wake up, look, I'm warning you, these things are happening. You're a different kind of Christian today because you're going to see Jesus return. Things that applied for the past 2,000 years aren't in effect anymore, as that you need to do something different than all of those people in the past. You've got to get ready and see what's about to happen. You're going to get spanked on earth to be prepared to get clean so you will not be so filthy in all your customs and traditions and so forth. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now you need to read the Bible. Read the King James Bible. All other versions I call Satan counterfeits because they come from Westcott and Hort. Study Westcott and Hort and you'll know what I mean. I'm out of time. See you next week.